Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Senior pastor of Found Church, apparently I will be preaching once a month when I come back after my sabbatical, so it's not my last message in Found Church, but my last message as senior pastor, and I believe God's laid something in my heart for today, and we'd like to just pray together before I share what God's put in my heart for today. I just want to say before that as well, what a particular blessing it was to see Helen Garvick walk into church today. Think back a few months ago, desperately ill, and wonderful Helen, great to see you. Father, thank you that you are a miracle working God. And thank you, Father, for the message you've given me to share this morning. And I pray that as I share it, it will be a blessing, an encouragement, and a challenge in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've got your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Joshua 1, I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. And my good friend Sandy Jemison, who many of you know, meet up with Sandy very regularly, and Marita, and he sent me a text this morning, and he said, I just feel that God's given me this for you, Joshua 1, 2 to 3. How cool is that, eh? And I'm reading Joshua 1, 1 to 3. So I just think these things are just quite amazing at what God does. So, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them. To the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Some time ago, God laid this scripture upon my heart. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now we're not dead. But I just felt that God laid out the chapter that we have been experiencing is changing, and it's a new chapter for ourselves and for yourselves. But I want to encourage us all today to possess the land that God has promised to each and every one of us. We could have spent today looking back, and God actually began to stir this message in me actually a year past June. And so actually, at that particular time, this scripture dropped into my heart. I read an article by a pastor. He said, 7 do-overs after 40 years in ministry. I wouldn't have been so much a people pleaser. I would have carved out more time to think and reflect. I would have more consistently disconnected one day each week. I would have spent more time building closer friendships with other pastors. I would have turned off my smartphone and computer more often. I would have read twice as many books as I actually did. And I would have listened more and talked less. So said one guy. And I could have expanded that and spoken about that. I also saw another article, 12 attractive traits for senior leaders. Steady, humble, courageous, conviction, adaptable, strategic thinking, learner, collaborative, optimistic, listener, servant-hearted, genuine. Did you get all these things? Did you take notes? But instead of looking backwards, I actually feel that God's calling us today as a congregation to look forward. Why? Because someone once said to me, our future is as bright as the promises of God. And I actually believe that with all my heart. I also believe that there's a move of God in our nation at this moment in time. I believe our toes are only in the water. I've said that on numerous occasions and in different places. And it's been in my heart for some time. In our nation, in our church, in our lives. And I believe that God's about to do even more. At our conference, at our ministers' conference in Harrogate just a few months ago, Diane, myself, Stephen, John, our son, and a young guy from Shetland who recently got saved. We were out for a meal together, and I was saying, I actually believe, and there's many of you here in my age bracket, or maybe older slightly, not many of you, but in that age, and we were just saying, you know, many of you will remember praying in school. Many of you will remember some of the things that you were taught at school, and you know, I believe that all of these things, all these seeds that's been planted in people's lives will come alive. I believe that with all my heart. And I said that, and I said, you see in the desert, and we're having this conversation around the meal, in the desert, you'll see when the rain comes, it looks as if it's dry and barren and there's nothing there, and all of a sudden flowers come up. And I said, that's what I believe God's going to do. with many, amen, Sam. Yeah. So many, that's going to happen to I believe, many, many people in Scotland and in the UK. But I really felt it for Scotland. And when we went to the meeting at night, the celebration event in Harrogate, where maybe 2,000 people there, close on, and the guy Russell Evans from Planet Shakers in Australia was preaching, and he said, you know, he says, I believe it, that all these seeds that have been planted in the desert will come alive. Incredible. We're just having that conversation. He says, they're called super blooms. I didn't even know what they were called. And so I believe that God is going to do these things in our nation. Years ago, here's the old song, Stephen. We used to sing a song, you know, the move is on, my Lord, the move is on. No, not many of you will remember that because it was like the glory kind of meetings that they used to say, come on, brother, come on, sister. Do you remember that one, Eddie? No? No, he doesn't, it's even too old for Eddie. Like, I mean, but I remember that song. And I actually believe a move is on. And there are many reasons, and I could spend a lot of time here speaking about the many reasons why I believe a move is on. The bi-monthly pastor's prayer event that's taken to church leaders is taking place in Scotland every 2 months over Zoom, and it happened last Thursday, from 7 a.m. till 8 a.m., pastors from all over Scotland are praying together in church leaders. I believe God is doing something incredible. This year at the Enshire Grange Hotel in January, 200 pastors and church leaders from all over Scotland came together to pray. You've heard me say that before. But I came away from these things thinking, God, you will do something in our nation when God's people are coming together for prayer. And other prayer groups are joining that. There's a new prayer group started in Aberdeen. There's a new prayer group started in Ayr, as Jim Smith and Ian Duthie told me recently. I've heard stories of people having dreams and being stirred to come along to attend church. Some of you here have been drawn to online church, and you started coming along to church as a result of these things. As Stephen referred, there's good news stories happening all over Scotland in these events that we're having. The pastors share good news stories of what is going on. There's a sense of God, of hunger in God's presence in our meetings. God is doing some amazing things through online church. The recent Franklin Graham event in Glasgow, 7,600 people were there, and there was over 500 recorded decisions for the Lord Jesus. That is phenomenal. And it's not just me that's saying these things. Prayer for Scotland newsletters are saying these things. A year ago, Alistair Barton wrote, I want to encourage all reading this and those that you may pass it on to. The Lord is building his church in these days. These are the days of Nehemiah, rebuilding the broken walls of Ezekiel, and of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh, of David, rebuilding a temple of praise. There's an article in a magazine that I get, a leader's magazine called Avail, and it says, prayer is not a good idea, nor is it a religious exercise. Prayer, according to Jesus, is a marker of his house. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And he goes on to say that prayer precedes revival. And God does great things through these things when God's people pray. J. John wrote on the 14th of May this year, he wrote an article about D-Day, and he paralleled it in the spiritual, and I quote now, I mention them because there are exciting and unexpected events occurring in the Christian world. It's perhaps too early to use the word revival, but in unlikely converts, a surge in church growth and a widespread sense of the presence of God, there are signs that we are seeing a remarkable move of the Holy Spirit. Prayer for Scotland wrote in May 15th this year about pastors and leaders reporting growth in churches. John and Tiff are here from Shetland, and they've seen a great move of people getting saved and their prayer meetings, having great prayer meetings. Churches in Aberdeenshire that we're acquainted with are growing. Diane and I were down at Annan for the opening event of their Pioneer Church about a month ago, and people were saved in Annan that particular night. We spoke to Malcolm McPherson, the evangelist. He said he'd been preaching the week before. He says 22 people responded for salvation on the Friday night when he made his appeal. 22 people, he said, in all my years of evangelism, I've never seen a result like that in Scotland. Yes, give God glory for what he's doing. There's another hymn for you, Stephen. You don't maybe know this. O Thou Who Camest From Above is an old hymn, and it says, in one of the lines, it says, ready for all your perfect will. Ready. And the question I'm asking us today, are we ready for all His perfect will? In the Scottish Bible Society magazine this week, it says, and research found that in Scotland in 2015, that 1 in 7, 18 to 24-year-olds read the Bible at least once a month. But recently, it was found that that had risen to 1 in 4. And that's from the Scottish Bible Society this week. Try Praying this week's update had lots of good stories of people coming to faith. Louis Palau, Diane mentioned it last week, had a mission in the northeast of England, and they saw 1,600 people make decisions for the Lord Jesus. And the young people's event called Magnitude, we heard at our local minister's prayer event this week, the attendance was up by 40%. Now, these are facts that I'm quoting. These are things that God is doing at this particular moment in time. And one of the things that has always challenged me as a leader is the fact that people are oblivious to what God is actually doing in our nation. And that's why I think it's good to celebrate and tell the good news stories. People are oblivious. And there are ministers that we know that are thinking, this is hard and things are difficult. And I'm not saying they're not hard, and I'm not saying they're not difficult, but God is still God in these situations that we're in at this moment in time. And I remember reading about the revival in Lewis, and there were actually ministers that opposed the revival in Lewis. You can hardly believe it. But that actually happened at that particular time when I did some research on that a few years ago. And you can read about that in the book Glory in the Glen. There were those who missed it in Jesus' day. And the Bible says they did not realize the day of their visitation. And so I pray that God will open up our minds to see that He is at work at this moment in time. The wise man said there are those who make things happen, and there are those that things happen to, and there are people who say what happened. And so hopefully we're not in the latter. And yesterday night, a couple of people quoted from Isaiah 43. But this is what it says in the Message paraphrase of Isaiah 43, verse 18. Forget about what happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the bad lands. Great promises that God has made in His words. And it's these words, get ready, that I want to share today. All through the Bible, people are told to get ready. Here we read, you and all these people, now then, you and all these people, get ready. Jesus said that in relation to His return, we need to be dressed, ready for service. Are we dressed? Are we ready for service? Are our lamps burning? There was a verse in the Bible, it spoke about judgment, but the Lord spoke to Samuel, behold, I'll do something in Israel at which both the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And I would love for God to do something in our day when every single one of our ears will tingle at what He's doing. And we cry, Lord, this is awesome. Many times in the Bible, God told His people to get ready. Like just in the ordinary events of life. I wonder how many of you spouses have said to your other half, hey, come on, get ready. You know, does that ever happen in your house? How many of you would admit that happens in your house? As a few honest ones, the rest of you are scared because you put up your hand. But you know, the Bible tells us many, many times in the Bible to get ready. And it seemed to me as if God was always saying to Jacob, get ready. He was told to get ready to flee. He was told to get ready and leave this country and return. And He was told to get ready and move to Bethel. And if you look through the Bible, you'll see over and over again, I've got lots of illustrations here, lots of times when God told these people to get ready. And God told Joshua to tell the people to get ready because He wanted them to take possession of the promised land. That included preparation, get ready to cross the Jordan River. It was an acknowledgement of God's promises into the land I'm about to give them. It included moving forward. We sang that. I love that song that we started with. It's like, I'm moving forward to follow after You. And every season, Your grace has been enough. It speaks about opposition and warfare. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. it also speaks about the realization and acknowledgement of God's presence. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. It speaks about courage, and it's mentioned over and over again, be strong and courageous. It speaks about obedience to the word of God, and it speaks about sanctification, consecrating ourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great and amazing things. And so through the Bible, when God says ready, it means there's a preparation got to happen in our lives. And if you were to read through them, and I've got them all here, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through them all. But over and over again, when God says get ready, there's stuff that we've got to do. If you're going out to going on holiday, whatever you may be doing, there's some preparation that we've got to make when it comes to getting ready. And there's many, many times in the Bible that people are told to get ready. Noah had to get a boat ready. Abraham and Sarah had to get ready to have a child in their old age. The children of Israel under Moses had to get ready to leave Egypt. The children of Israel under Joshua, as we've seen this morning, had to get ready to get into the promised land. David had to make ready preparations for the temple. Elijah had to prepare the sacrifice before the fire fell. Nehemiah had to get ready to make preparations before building the wall. The disciples had to get ready for the Passover. We have to be ready for Jesus' return, as I mentioned earlier. The widow and the oil, she had to make preparations. She had to get ready. She had to get all the vessels ready to receive the oil that God was going to do the miracle and multiply it. And the disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem to get ready to evangelize the world. And so there's something that had to happen. There's a faith element, a response in our hearts that says, Amen, Lord. We do not want to miss it. Leaders in Jesus' day missed it. In Noah's day, they missed it. In Nehemiah's day, there was all kinds of criticism going on. And Jesus says, when he returns, there will be people who miss it. So my question is, are we ready this morning? Like a ship getting ready to sail, like a cruise ship taking on board its supplies, are we ready? Like a bride preparing for her wedding, are we ready, Found Church? Are we ready? Three of you are ready. That's great. Well, we'll hopefully be more. You know, there's some things that I see in this passage that I think that we would be ready, that God would challenge us to be ready in. Number one, ready to go forward believing God's promises. God says, into the land I'm going to give you. So God's going to give land to Found Church. We need to live with an acknowledgement and belief that God has promised us stuff as a church. We mentioned Micah 7 and 11 this morning. And we need to learn to live in the reality, not of just what is present, but of what God has promised. And to actually believe what he said. When we came to this church 35 years ago, there were around 40 people in the church. Between 40 and 50 people were on a list of names. I wasn't even invited to the minister's fraternal, because we were the penties. It swung from the chandeliers up the road. So we didn't get. In the language of people, in our day, was that we church up the Broomage. That's what our church was known as. And Dan and I felt that we needed to change that mindset. That we needed to stop saying that we church up the Broomage. The belief for what God could do in the Broomage. And what God could do in our area. And some of you will remember that and things that we said. We believe God had called us. You see, John Wesley said, the world is my parish. So there's plenty of people in Larbert for all the churches in Larbert to prosper and grow. We have lots of battles. I'm not going to have time to speak about them today. Somebody asked last night what was my highlight. A good job I never asked what my disappointments were. But I remember a really difficult time of spiritual attack. It was in the time of Masai. Masai was about to move on to his next assignment. He always was only with us on a temporary basis. I would have loved them to have been here longer. But he promised to go back to Kenya. And two very committed couples, for bizarre reasons, had decided to leave the church, leaving a huge gap and calling us to call an oversight meeting to pray together. And so we went to Blair's house to pray together. And earlier on that week, a lady from Peterhead had sent me a text, and it was Isaiah 54. And she said, I really believe this is a significant text for you. And so it was a blessing to read Isaiah 54. If you've got your Bibles, you can look it up. But it didn't mean all that much to us at the start of the week. But when that news came through in relation to these two couples, it meant a huge amount to us. So we met together and we began to pray in Blair and Jeanette's house. And the then small group of us as leaders began to pray. And as I began to pray, the Lord gave me a picture and a vision of a desert island. And so it was like if you walk on the sand after the tide goes out and the sand's still wet, and somebody had written on the sand, and there was marks. And I felt that the Holy Spirit was saying to me that these are marks, and it's like things have happened in your life and have left marks and left scars. And possibly and likely there will be people here today, things have happened in your life that have left marks and left scars. But then a remarkable thing happened, as it happens every day, twice a day, the tide came in. And when the tide came in, things changed. And I felt that God says, the tide is going to change. The tide is going to turn. And I really believe that God said that. Well, some of you might remember Sylvia Watson in the church. How many of you remember Sylvia? As a lady came in a wheelchair. She was institutionalized. She was brought up in the local hospital for people that suffer from poor mental health. And Sylvia was sitting in her wheelchair in the church. And then the Sunday morning after that. And she says, God's given me a picture of a desert island. I mean, incredible. And she says, I see a tree. It was like one of these kind of banana kind of trees, coconut trees. And she says, and the storm came and blew the tree, but the tree sprung back, and the storm came, blew the tree again, and this happened twice. And I just felt we'd been through a storm. Two significant things happened. And you know, I was tremendously encouraged. And suddenly Isaiah 54 opened up to me in a wonderful way. And if you look at Isaiah 54, you see it spoke to Israel in exile, but it had a wider application to the Gentiles who would come in, and it had an application to us. Because prophecies like that, it speaks to people in its day, and it can speak to other situations that will happen later, and God can lift a scripture off a page, and suddenly it comes alive to us. And we recognize this is amazing. And commentators would say that. And God spoke that scripture into my heart. And the first thing that Isaiah 54 says, it says, sing, O barren woman. And let me just tell you this. If you're here today and you're looking to have children, the last thing you want to do is sing. It's usually women who are having babies that sing. Well, they didn't sing at that moment. They sing later on. I realize that, like, okay. But you usually rejoice when a child is born. But if you're barren, you're crying out to have a child. And so the Bible says, sing, O barren woman. And what barren women usually cry? How do we do that? And it's this, that it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. It's in the most difficult times. This is the lesson God told me at that time. Is in the most difficult and trying times of your life, and this is for some of you today, don't lose your song. You know, we were singing this morning that there's a lion inside of us, and we cannot lose our song. And then the second thing that opened up from Isaiah 54 is when hardships or opposition come, step out in faith and don't give up in your dreams. Because the tendency is to shrink back. So there's Masai leaving, and the Bible says here, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your... Like, the last thing you want to do in difficult times, when you have no children, is to enlarge the place. That's faith. That's faith. Faith, only faith can do that. Why would you enlarge the place of your tent if you're not expecting something to happen? And so the second thing that God spoke is this, enlarge. And when you're barren, you don't do that. But you do if God's spoken into your heart. Look at Abraham and Sarah. God told Abraham, he was called Abraham, and God told him he would get a new name, it would be called Abraham. And he was really old. And Abraham meant father of nations. And so Sarah's going to address her husband now, who hasn't got any children. Hello, father of nations. Can you imagine what her neighbor would be saying? What would they say in the morning if you shouted out, come on, father of nations? And everybody's thinking, this guy's a nutcase. And this woman's as bad. And he's shouting, come on, father of nations. And when that scripture came to me, you see, the thing is, you feel when things happen and difficult things happen that you lose your song, you don't want to sing, you don't want to praise God, then you feel as if you want to restrict. But if God has spoken to you, don't restrict. Because God has spoken into your situation. And if people that are given people leave, because committed people usually are given people, And so for the woman to enlarge her tent was a step of faith. And so we pushed ahead with our plan, and John Daniel came and joined us. And what a blessing John is, and you can give God glory for John bringing him to our midst. So the first thing I see in this passage here is get ready. Are we ready to acknowledge and believe God's promises for your life and for Found Church? The second thing here is, as we're ready to move forward to fulfill God's purposes, Joshua was given a great promise. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. That is an amazing promise. Every place where you set your foot. God changes his workmen, but God continues his work. Are we ready to move forward when God says, move forward? At Grangemouth last month, on the Sunday night, when we were worshiping God, God put it into my heart to tell us in Grangemouth, the people that were there that night, to take a step forward. And I asked people, some of you, those of you who are here will remember, I said, let's take a step forward in faith. Let's take a physical step. The physical step meant that we are stepping forward. It's an outward thing of what we're believing inside. And the Bible tells us that we need to move forward. The Bible tells us we're pilgrims and not settlers. God's always on the move. Do you realize that? And we need to be as well. If we're standing still, we're going backwards. The danger of drifting is something that is addressed by the writer to the Hebrews. And God spoke to me once very powerfully through a verse in Acts chapter 18. And there's a big story behind this, but this is the gist of it. It says, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So God spoke to me. I have many people in this city. And I want to tell you, Found Church, God's still got many people in this city. And he's many people in this city that are not part of our churches that he wants to reach. And you know who the key to reaching them is? You and me. Every single one of us. And I believe that promise is still over God's house here. And so another challenging time, there were one or two, when the enemy was having his way, that verse came to me. I says, God, you will give us, you have many people in the city. So some of you might remember when they started building houses down the Foundry Lawn. So if you come out the church building, turn right, go down there, past the Jones and Campbell's offices, there's houses there. As a miracle, at one time they weren't there. When we used to work in a place that was there, Stephen, that used to be your old workplace, there used to be foundries there, used to stink to high heaven. And so you went down there, and there was no houses. And they started building houses. And the Holy Spirit put into my heart, and I never told anybody, it's the first time I've ever shared this, that I felt prompted by the Lord to go and knock on every single door. I thought, Lord, you have much people in the city. So I knocked on every single door of every single one of these houses. It says, hello, I'm the pastor of the church up the road. I would like to give you a Bible, and here's my card, and if we can ever help you in any way, we would like to do that. And if they weren't, then I put a letter through the door to let them know. Because I believe that God's got many people in the city. God's got many people in the city. There was a time when I was part of the leadership in AOG in Scotland at this particular time, and our superintendent, Peter Cochran, had two people helped him, Andrew Smith and myself. And he was about to retire, and he said, the future of the AOG is in you guys, and one of you will be superintendent. And I kind of wondered if it was going to be me. And they said, put out a we want you to write in your vision what you believe is the future of the movement. And I wrote my vision and put it in right away because I kind of sensed that could be something that God would want me to do. And then I felt the Holy Spirit say, it's not for you. I was shocked. Like, I thought this was for me. It wasn't for me. And so I went into the church one day in a Broomage. I was going to do this amazing apostolic function. Somebody, I think it was Peter, had printed out new dyno tape things for the sound system and for our sound desk, and I was going to stick on, like, microphone one, microphone two, guitar one, guitar two. And I went into the church, and I looked up, and the verse God gave me was, Isaac sowed in that land from Genesis 26 and then Genesis 28. Isaac sowed in that land, and that year he reaped 100-fold because the Lord was blessed him. And I felt that God says to me, you've got to sow into this land. And
So I went in, looked up the ceiling, I says, Lord, I says, I, like Abraham of old, I offer up my Isaac, and I'm going to sow in this land as you've called me to, pulled away from all the things I was doing at that particular time in the AOG, stuck on the things on the label, and within 10, 15 minutes of that, I had a phone call from the director of education. I didn't even know that he knew that I existed. And he basically said, would you be willing to come on to the education executive as a religious rep in Falkirk Council? And I felt that was God opening up the door and showing me I'm not a fleece person. I believe that God guides us by his Holy Spirit. But I believe God was affirming the things that he'd spoken into our lives. And so are we ready to move forward to fulfill God's purposes? A third thing, are we ready to go forward with the assurance of God's protection? Joshua was told about a spiritual battle. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. That sounds like a bit of a battle, doesn't it? Because people are going to stand up against you. And when I came back to Isaiah 54 in my life, it's been a very foundational passage for us. It says, no weapon forged against you will prevail. Some of you need to hear that today. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is our vindication from me, declares the Lord. Well, last night you saw Maxine Williams given a tribute to us at the service last night. And so Diane and I were about to be ordained as ministers in Assemblies of God. And we're at the conference, and R.T. Kendall is speaking. Now, R.T. Kendall was one of my top speakers, and I wanted to go and hear R.T. Kendall. But on that day, we were told that A to L went to hear R.T. Kendall, and M to Z goes to hear this lady that I'd never heard of. Right? And I'm thinking, I wondered, there's no way that R could be an 8L. Do you realize that? So Diane says, she says, you're going to go into ministry. Once a prophet came to me and he says, I need to listen to my wife. Can you believe that? So I have diligently. you've got some touch of the spirits, Diane, just now. She's going like that. So I wasn't keen to go, and I wanted to go and hear R.T. Kendall. And Diane said, she says, you're going into leadership, and in leadership you expect to lead, and you expect people to follow the lead, and here you are trying to be a rebel. And so I said, okay, right. So I went, and this preacher was really, really good, and then we went forward for prayer and laying on our hands, and Derek Williams came and laid his hands on us, and he prophesied over us, words to the effect that the enemy tried to give us a hard time, but God would bless us and bring us through. And this is another verse that's it's been a blessing. No weapon forged against you will prevail. I remember times passing the sheriff court at Falkirk, going to Camlin, turning right at roundabout to go out past the golf course that way, and quote an adverse to the Lord. See, when God gives you a word, that's what you can do. His presence goes with you. You know that you can trust the word of God. No weapon that's formed against you. You'll refute every tongue. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Well, I've got four other points, and I'm just going to give you them, and I'm not going to preach them. Are we ready to go forward acknowledging God's presence? See, this is real. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You see, this is a day that we hand over responsibility for the leadership of this church. But it's not so much about us, it's about the God who's with us. It's as I was with Moses, I will be with you. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And that's why we can go forward with confidence. He's committed to us. It says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Isaiah 54, verse 10. Praise God. So, the fifth thing, are you ready to go forward in God's power? Be strong and courageous. You'll lead these people. Be strong and courageous, verse 9 again. Only be strong and courageous, verse 18. Are we ready to follow God's pathway? It says, be careful to obey all my law. I'm just giving you the headlines now. And then finally, are we ready to embrace God's call to purity as a sanctified people set apart for him? Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great and amazing things among you. Today I really believe that God's given a word for me, for the church, and it's this, it's to get ready. And I could have expanded all of these seven principles. I didn't say seven principles because when you realize that I've got 59 seconds left of my time and I'd only done three, you would have all been wondering when you were ever going to get home for your dinner. But believing God's promises, fulfilling God's purposes, forward with assurance of God's protection, forward acknowledging God's presence, ready to go forward in God's power, ready to follow God's pathway, ready to embrace God's call to purity. Found Church, I pray that God would help us all to be ready for the next season He has. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.